everybody, it's your girl, Charlotte Van Horn, with Sisters Talking Natural Hair and Business, baby. How y'all doing out there today? So I'm super duper extraordinarily happy to be with you today because I have a very special guest. And let me just start by saying this before I tell you who that special guest is. I know that a lot of us watched the movie Self-Made on Netflix back in March when it was released, and it was a good movie. It really was. I really enjoyed the movie. But as a matter of fact, it was a four-part series. And the movie Self-Made was loosely based on the life and times of Madam C.J. Walker, okay? And it was inspired by the book On Her Own Ground, The Life and Times of Madam C.J. Walker, written by Aaliyah Bundles. Now, the thing that I want to be clear is that the movie was quote-unquote inspired, and I feel like a lot of people just took it to be factual, and that is a little bit concerning. And so I decided that I want to make sure that I share with my audience fact versus fiction. And in doing so, I started doing the research about Madam, because there's so many like theories and legends and information out there that really need to be verified. And I think that you all know with this podcast is basically, you know, my opinion and a lot, but my opinion and fact are two different things. So I started to do my research and I came across the lady who wrote the book On Her Own Ground, for which this movie was inspired. And turns out that she was Madam C.J. Walker's great-great-granddaughter, Aaliyah Bundles. And I started watching Aaliyah do interviews and reading up about her. And I just got so excited about her. I mean, she is an amazing woman, and she's done an amazing job at, you know, being the historian of in her family and documenting information about her great-great-grandmother. So who better to come on the show to break out some fact and fiction for us, right? So I just asked her, would she come on the show? And I didn't know whether she would or not. And believe it or not, guys, she said yes. And so I was so inspired, just the fact that she said yes, that she would be willing to come on the show. And so I'm super, super, super duper honored to have her here today. But I do want to make sure that you know a little bit about her and why she's such an outstanding guest to have on the show today. Okay. As I said, she is the author of On Her Own Ground, which happens to be a New York Times notable book about her amazing entrepreneur great-great-grandmother and the inspiration for the very popular fictional four-part Netflix series Self-Made. Okay, Aaliyah is a vice chair of Columbia University's Board of Trustees and chair emerita of the board of the National Archives Foundation. She also is a member of the advisory boards of the March on Washington Film Festival, the Schlesinger Library on the History of Women at Harvard's Radcliffe Institute for Advanced Study, and the Smithsonian's American Women's History Initiative. She founded the Madam Walker Family Archives, the largest private collection of Walker photographs and memorabilia, and is a brand historian for MCJW, a line of hair care products inspired by Madam and manufactured by Sundial Brands for Sephora.com. Aaliyah was a network television news executive and a producer for 30 years at NBC and then at ABC News, where she was Washington, D.C. Deputy Director Chief and Director of Talent Development. Her articles and essays have been published in the New York Times, Book Review, Parade, Miss, O Magazine, Essence, several encyclopedias and books, and on her blog at AaliyahBundles.com. As a speaker and MC, she has appeared at universities, corporations, and book festivals, as well as on numerous major networks. She has served as an advisor for numerous documentaries, museum exhibits, biographies, scholarly papers, and history texts. Ms. Bundle is a recipient of the Emmy, and a DuPont Gold Baton. She has participated in writing residences at Yaddo and the McDowell Colony. She graduated magna cum laude from Harvard College and received a master's degree from the Columbia University Graduate School of Journalism. She's a member of the Phi Beta Kappa and the American Academy of Art and Sciences. So she is highly qualified to be with us today. And I just want to welcome her to the show. Welcome to the show, Ms. Bundles.
Hello, I'm delighted to be with you.
You're pretty impressive, aren't you?
Oh my God, that was long. I'm just a girl who grew up with parents who worked in the hair care business.
So in your bio, it talks about your humor and, you know, I can see that and I love your presentation. And I just have to tell you that I really do honor you. You're so humble and easy and I truly, truly appreciate that. I just wanted to kind of get you on the show to talk to us about Self-Made. But first of all, I want to clarify. On her own ground, is that now officially entitled Self-Made?
So here's what happens when you have a book. The original title of my book was On Her Own Ground, The Life and Times of Madam C.J. Walker. And that book came out in 2001. But what often happens when a book is turned into a movie, in order for the publisher to try to sell some more books, they will change the name temporarily to the name of the film. And the Netflix and Warner Brothers decided to name the film that was inspired by my book, Self-Made. So we have essentially a special edition of this book titled Self-Made. So people will be able to buy that for the next few months. Original title remains. So there, you can buy either one. You can buy a book that has On Her Own Ground as the title, and you can also buy a picture of the beautiful Octavia Spencer on the cover called Self-Made. But the contents of the books are exactly the same.
Got it. Thank you very much for explaining that to me. I have the Audible version.
Oh, great.
Of Self-Made. I do. I already have that. But now with the hardback book, do you have photos in there?
There are photos in there. There are photos in the paperback. And I love it that this new edition, the paper is slick. For originally, it was that kind of slick paper, glossy paper. And then for about 7 or 8 years, the publishers were saving money and they just used newsprint. And now they have restored the glossy paper. So I would say there are maybe 30 photos in the book.
I've written
4 books about Madam Walker, but for people who love vintage photographs, there's another book I have that's you can buy on my website or on Amazon called Madam Walker Theater Center and Indianapolis Treasure. And I bet you've seen those books with the sepia, the sort of brown toned cover of neighborhoods and cities. That's one of those books, and there are 200 photographs of Madam Walker and the Walker Building in Indianapolis, the Walker Factory, the Beauty Salon. So for people who love photos, that's a really great book to pick up.
I have to get that one because the photos are just absolutely amazing to me. Especially the Walker Building, you know, it was just like there were so many layers to Madam Walker. And even as I started looking for more information, there were just so many versions of her life. And then I found you. And then I was like, this is good. I really trust your research that you've done, and I appreciate the time that you've taken to gather so much information. So let me ask you this. When it comes to the movie, what are some of the things that you really just want us to know? This was Hollywood and not fact.
Well, you know, just to sort of just start with who Madam Walker really was, I mean, her story is born on the same plantation in Delta, Louisiana, where her parents and older siblings had been enslaved before the Civil War. She was the first child in her family born free. in December of 1867, and she was orphaned at 7. Her parents both died. She moved in with an older sister whose husband was abusive to young Sarah Breedlove, and so she said, I got married at 14 to get a home of my own. But by the time she was 20, she was a widow with a 2-year-old daughter. She moved up the Mississippi River to St. Louis, where her older brothers had moved about a decade earlier, and they were barbers. So she was exposed to the beauty business early on, but she was still a poor, uneducated washerwoman, and it was the women of her church, St. Paul AME Church, who reached out and began to give her a vision of herself as something other than an illiterate washerwoman. And then you fast forward, she's a washerwoman until she's 38. She discovers a hair care product. She establishes a business. And by the time she dies in 1919 at age 51, she is a millionaire, a philanthropist, a patron of the arts, a political activist who has provided jobs for thousands of Black women.
Yeah. And it's just like, you know, when you think about the things that we're challenged with today, and then you think about all that she did way back then, it is just absolutely amazing. And I mean, you say that she was exposed to, like, you know, barbers, but a lot of us, we do good hair, but we don't necessarily do good business. And so I'm wondering, is like, was the business savvy that she was able to capitalize on, do you think it was just like, you know how sometimes we're just anointed or just gifted with certain things?
Well, you know, I think it is a combination of things. She did see her brothers who were barbers, and I think, I don't know if most people know this, but there was a period of time when Black men dominated the barbering trade in America. They had been as enslaved people and as servants, the barbers, and at a time when men needed to be shaved every day, Black men were the servants who did the barbering. And then many developed businesses. Some became quite successful. So I think she had seen that model. She also saw the model of women in the club movement, in the missionary society, in the choir, who were organizing. And she saw that model of Black people organizing and creating institutions. The business part, I think, was she was a washerwoman. She had to go charge people to wash the clothes. So she had a little bit of that. But I think something that's really key to understanding why she is still remembered and why she is successful, she had a really great ability to identify leaders and to bring people into her executive team who she empowered, and she hired some really wise hiring decisions. Her attorney, F.B. Ransom, who is really downplayed in the film and I don't think is really portrayed accurately, but he was a strong pillar of her business. And, you know, people don't think they don't want to pay up the lawyer because they're expensive, but she was really smart about hiring a great lawyer who could protect her. The manager of her factory, a woman named Alice Kelly, who doesn't appear in the film, had been the dean of girls at a Black boarding school, and she was able to manage and motivate the other women. And I do think that, you know, Sarah Breedlove, Madam Walker, had a knack for identifying sales agents. I'll tell you how she did that. As she traveled around the country, she would make speeches. She would first make a speech to the whole church or the whole organization about Black current events. She was always interested in what was going on with Black education and Black politics. And then after she had excited people, you know, in a sense, gotten them in the tent, then she would meet with a group of maybe 10 to 15 women who said they were interested in becoming agents. And as she demonstrated her system, she would see who was the woman who asked the best questions. Who was the person the other women looked towards? Who did they gravitate towards? She would make that person her lead agent. So it was a bit the ability to identify people and then to not micromanage them, but to allow them to flourish.
Yes, that is very, very significant. Now, I'm going to ask again about, like, the leaders that she sought out, but tell me what you thought of Mr. Walker. How did you feel that he was portrayed in the movie?
Well, you know, good and bad. I think, first, Blair Underwood, it was wonderful to have Blair Underwood as Octavia Spencer's love interest. I think we all appreciated that. And I really appreciated the fact that he called me when they were just starting filming to do additional research. I really respected that in him, that he's really studied his character. And so I like the fact that they developed a love interest between the two of them. It is true that he had an affair with one of her agents. So that's one of the few sort of scandalous things in the film that's true. There are a lot of other things that are sort of made up. There was no confrontation with the people in the, I'm doing a little bit of a spoiler, but there's a scene where he sort of is in the factory, and so people who've seen it will know what I'm talking about. That didn't happen. And he didn't really, after he had the affair, then he tried to start another company using her name. And so that part was true. But I think initially they were a good match. They had similar goals, but she ultimately had a bigger vision than he did, and that happens sometimes. Mm-hmm. I think probably because many of the other male characters don't come off so well, just as an overall sense, a lot of people were upset about the way the male characters were portrayed. Had I been writing the script, I would have made her attorney, F.B. Ransom, a much stronger character because he really was significant. There's another character who's a numbers runner and a pimp named Sweetness. That's a fake character,
okay,
not a real character. And the script writers and the showrunners decided that they wanted to include that character as a device. They were using it to talk about lynching. But in real life, Mr. Ransom, the attorney, had taken an oath as a young man to never drink, gamble, or smoke. And he kept that vow. So he would never have bet on a number. He would never have done that. He was the person who kept Madam Walker protected from people like Sweetness. Not that she never knew anybody like that. I mean, of course she did. Knew people who were on the shady side of the law. But Mr. Ransom himself would never have participated in something like that. It also implies that there was illegal money as an investment in the start of the company. That wasn't true.
Well, they did kind of indicate that was very, very outside of Ransom's integrity or character to do that. So they definitely did show that. I was thinking as I was watching it that they were going to have the attorney and Madam have an affair because I felt like he was in love with her.
Yeah, he was much younger.
He was much younger?
Right.
Oh, okay. And the relationship that they portrayed between Madam and Mr. Walker, it seemed like Madam was kind of like rough on him and put him down. And I didn't know whether or not, from the other things that I've read, I never really saw any indication of that. So I was curious about it. And I know that sometimes, like, Madam had the vision. And the same thing with my company. My company, I make a point to always say, to give my husband his props, because even though you never see him, without him, I'm nothing. Without him, I could not have been able to build this business the way that I have. And so do you think that was fictitional, just the way that they portrayed her?
I think they went overboard on that. But I will say this, as I said earlier, I think that when they first started out, they were on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
And she had an interview with a reporter, and she told the reporter, my husband and I began to have business disagreements when we began to make $10 a week. Now you have to translate that into, today's
mm-hmm.
dollars. But when we began to make $10 a week, he thought that was enough. And I knew that I had a business that could be much bigger. So that will tell you that, there's a point where they started having disagreements about the direction of the business.
Okay. With regard to the movie. What this movie made me want was another movie, a real movie, you know, something. I've seen some really good documentaries, like on, you know, YouTube, and I particularly like the $2 and a
$2 and a Dream. Yes, love that.
That is a good one. And when I started taking notes of all the things that I saw, it had so much credibility with me, because you got to see people who were actually there with her, you know, and working with her. And as a matter of fact, it was your grandfather, right?
Right. My grandfather's in that movie, right?
Yes. And so what would you like to see, like a true documentary, like a movie that kind of sticks more to facts?
Yeah, definitely. And there's actually Stanley Nelson, who was the filmmaker who did $2 and a Dream, mm-hmm. is the grandson of F.B. Ransom, Madam Walker's attorney. And he has done a number of award-winning films. That was his very first film, done in 1989, and he looks back on it and he says, oh, there are, you know, 100 things I'd do differently. But it still stands the test of time. He more recently has done a film called Boss, The Black Experience in Business, that aired on PBS last year, and includes a segment on Madam Walker, but also includes information about Robert Smith, the billionaire who contributed money to Morehouse. It includes Richelieu Dennis, who is the founding CEO of Sundial Brands, the company that makes Shea Moisture Nubian Heritage and the MCJW line of hair care products that were inspired by Madam Walker. Also something about Tulsa, the Black Wall Street. So Stanley has done a great job with that. I would love to, I'm actually in conversations now about a documentary about Madam Walker. And there are so many other platforms, whether it's theater, whether it's musicals. And I'm almost finished with a biography on Madam Walker's daughter, Alelia Walker, that would be perfect for another series. I would certainly have a different kind of involvement in whatever happens next.
Well, let me ask you one more question about the movie. What did you think of Tiffany Haddish portrayal, or what did you think of her part in the movie?
Well, you know, I will say, as I am doing, having, you know, studied Alelia Walker for 50 years, I wrote my first report in high school about her in 1970 when I was a senior in high school, and having spent many years now working on this new book about her, I would say that Tiffany Haddish is not very much like Alelia Walker, really a different kind of person. So she would not have been the person that I would have envisioned playing that role. I think she is really funny, and I loved Girls Trip, but probably a different character. Alelia Walker was a really different kind of person, sort of much more... you know, statuesque and more dignified and more reserved. And but I think that maybe the writers needed some comic relief in the film.
So was Alelia a lesbian?
No. This was something that was created by the writers, and the real conflict between Madam Walker and her daughter during Madam Walker's lifetime was over two boyfriends. Both were doctors. Both were handsome. Madam Walker adored one and distrusted the other. So that was really the conflict between mother and daughter. Alelia Walker had many friends who were queer and who were some of her best friends and who were at her parties, but there is no documentation of her having a lesbian lover. She had three husbands. She was married three times. She had a very, very close friend who may have been her last relationship, may have been with a woman, but there's no documentation. And I have her letters and her, you know, her journals, and there's nothing that allows me to say definitively.
Okay. Well, yeah, because they really, really, really did play that up, and I had never seen anything like that.
Yeah, I really do. You know, I'm not quite sure why that was the direction they wanted to go.
They really
even during that period of time, I interviewed a lot of her friends during the 1980s, those who were still living. and some who were gay. And they said, when we talked about that era, the difference between how people publicly identified, and, you know, it is unfortunate. People were in, felt they needed to be, you know, in the closet, so to speak. And I think that was harmful to a lot of people. It is mm-hmm. much better now when people can be freer to be who they are and to express themselves. But the impression that I have from my conversations with her contemporaries is that most people were not out in the way that the character was portrayed in the right. film, but it was also a fake character. Esther mm-hmm. was not a real person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was pretty out there mm-hmm. for that time. Okay, so I am going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back, and I'd like to just touch on Madam's management and business style. And then we'll move forward from there. So can you hang tight with me and we'll be
Absolutely.
Right back? Absolutely. All right. This is Charlotte Van Horn, Sisters Talking Natural Hair and Vintage, and we will be right back. Y'all don't go nowhere.
Have you heard about the new Black Business Directory? Welcome to Click Urban. Here, you can find hundreds of businesses owned by us. Whatever business professional you're looking for, they're right here. And the best part is, membership is absolutely free.
Just go to www.theclickurban.com, sign up for a free account, create your free listing, and boom, you're done.
Begin surfing the largest Black business directory online and be seen by hundreds of customers and clients all in one place. Get exposure on all of the major search engines, including Google. Our innovative platform includes search engine optimization that will make your listing easy to find. This is the hottest new business directory created for us, by us.
Join today. Go to www.theclickurban.com.
Locks Forever has invented an all-natural product, No More Tenderheads, that has been shown to provide relief during styling and manipulation of natural hair. Our formula focuses on the scalp, not the hair, and our clients, stylists, and moms all over the country love it. Check out our No More Tenderheads Facebook page for more information, reviews, and videos. You can also find us on YouTube at Locks Forever or give us a call at 540-446-5107.
And we are back. This is Charlotte Van Horn with Sisters Talking Natural Hair and Business. And I am here with Miss Aurelia Bundle, the great-great-granddaughter of Madam C.J. Walker. And we were just talking about the movie and her book and her great-grandmother, who is her namesake. Her name, Aurelia, is her great-grandmother. And your mother, just to make everybody know, your mother was May in the movie.
My grandmother is May.
I'm sorry, your grandmother.
Right.
Yes. So that was pretty, that just want everybody to know that. And so part of Sisters Talking Natural Hair and Business, the reason that I started doing this podcast and, you know, is because I think that a lot of times with Black hair businesses that we do really good hair, but sometimes we do really bad business. And I think there's a number of reasons why we do bad business, and I've expressed it before, and I always do things to try to learn to do better myself and to try to help others to do better. And it's one of the things that I really loved about Madam. And I mean, if Madam was here today, what advice do you think that she would give to like natural hair business owners, you know, like myself, who are in the business and want to be excellent and represent well?
Yeah, absolutely. She was really serious about business. And I think that's part of what was done well in the film is that Octavia Spencer really embodied that sense of tenacity and the sacrifice that goes into building a business, but also the some of the triumphs. One of the ways to show how Madam Walker felt about her agents and about business, in 1917, at her first national convention, 2 years before Mary Kay was born, she gave her keynote, and she gave prizes to the women who not only had sold the most products and brought in the most new agents, but the women who had contributed the most to charity. They had sessions on managing their money, on banking, on how they would pay their bills, on how they would, you know, make sure that they had, that they were saving and that they were investing in real estate. So she was really pushing not just hair care products, not just styling, but how you build a business and how you create generational wealth. So you could see that women who now had independent wealth, who were no longer having to work in somebody's kitchen, were able to buy homes and educate their children, send their children to college, and then invest in more real estate. So she always had her eye on the prize of economic independence.
Well, they showed the one lady who, you know, clearly she had trusted and had an affair with Mr. Walker. Did you say that was fiction or real?
No, that was real. He actually did have an affair with one of her agents.
Do you think that basically she was a much better judgment, though? I mean, because that's the only, you know, relationship that they showed with her and other people that she was bringing up. They didn't really show any other, like, close relationships. Sometimes it's hard to tell, you know, who's going to be really be with you and who's not.
Well, you know, I think that is, you know, unfortunately, one of the things, again, if I had been doing this myself, I would have focused on the close relationships, the mentoring relationships that she had with women in her church. It was really, as I said earlier, the women at St. Paul AME Church who began to model for her the way that you develop an organization. They are the ones who mentored her and helped her begin to think about herself as something other than an illiterate washerwoman. And she surrounded herself with women like that, like Alice Kelly, the former dean of girls who was the manager of her factory, like Jessie Batts Robinson, a school teacher who was a member of her church and also a leader in a national women's organization. She later became the manager of Madam Walker's St. Louis school. So I think that she was surrounding herself with people who were real good business managers and who were close to her, but that was not the decision that the script writers wanted to make. They were focused on creating this conflict between two black women. Yeah. And as many of your listeners know, Annie Malone was a very successful businesswoman and philanthropist who was about the same complexion as Madam Walker, so that part of it was really fictional.
And that really got people going. And I'm like, well, okay, I don't remember it quite like that. But it's just so important that we're talking about it so that people can decipher, you know, what was real and what it was a good movie, but what was real and what was not. And what I would like to do is to talk a little bit more about your book and, you know, what you like best about the book. And then also, I am really excited to learn more about Alalia, because she seemed like a very, very significant character as well. So could you talk to us a little bit about your book and the book that you're working on?
Sure. Well, I hope that people will be interested in On Her Own Ground. And as you say, it is in paperback, it's an audiobook, and it's also an ebook. So you can get it in whatever format best fits your, you know, your needs and your lifestyle. But what I tried to do in that book, because I think, like most people, my history books in high school did not really include women and people of color, did not really tell Madam Walker's story. So I tried to tell the story not just of Madam Walker and her journey from Delta, Louisiana, through the development of her business and her involvement in politics, but also to tell a bit about the history of African Americans between the Civil War and World War I. We made so many contributions to America, and that is left out of the story. And I think a lot of times we think, oh, I'm not really interested in history, but once I found a connection through my family to history, it began to make more sense and it began to become more interesting to me. And I think everybody can find that. You don't have to have a famous family member to know that your family member was involved in the various movements, the migration movements or business or other things that were going on in America. So I try to give context for that. In writing On Her Own Ground, I tried to develop the relationship between Madam Walker and her daughter, Alelia Walker. And when I was finishing that book, I knew that I would eventually write a separate biography about Alelia Walker because her life is so interesting. She lived in Harlem from 1913 to 1931. She's really the person who persuaded her mother that they needed to have a presence in New York. And the time was perfect because it was as Harlem was becoming the political and cultural mecca for Black America. And I think people have, when I was starting to write about Madam Walker, people, most of what people knew about her was either incorrect or insufficient. Mm-hmm. And I'm finding the same thing as I'm writing about Alelia Walker. She kind of gets pigeonholed into Madam Walker made the money, Alelia Walker spent the money, she had parties, the end. And so, you know, of course, nobody's that pathetic or that two-dimensional. And so it's been really important to me to talk about how much of a patron of the arts she was, how much of really an impresario she was. She knew how to do events. When people get paid now for being events planners. She knew how to do that. And she traveled internationally. She went to London, Paris, Rome, Monte Carlo for the coronation, Rome for the coronation of the Pope, Monte Carlo, Addis Ababa, where she met the Empress of Ethiopia, Cairo, Egypt, Palestine, and Havana. She loved Cuba. So I want to tell this story of really the first Black heiress who also had flaws.
Mm-hmm. She had a very diverse following.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that without social media.
Oh, God, she, yes. Believe me, both of them would have been on Instagram.
Yeah. Wow. So do you have any idea when The Joy Goddess is going to come out?
Yes, it will be out next year. I can't tell you what month yet. But I have about 7 more chapters to finish writing. And, you know, if there's any silver lining to this really challenging period that we're going through, it's that I can't go anywhere. So I'm writing. And I should be finished with it in the fall. And then it should be out sometime next year.
And I was wondering, so you can order the book from your website as opposed to going through Amazon?
Yeah, you can do both. You can. My website is AleliaBundles.com, and you can order it on my website. I will tell you honestly, it may come faster if you order it on Amazon, mainly because I'm doing all of the fulfillment and shipping and packing and labeling myself, and I'm only going to the post office about every week and a half. So I made a trip last Friday with 70 books, but it took me 2 weeks to get all of that together. So it's a little hard to do all the things that I'm doing and also be the shipping department. But
yes.
That said, if somebody really wants an autographed copy, I'm delighted to do it, and they can order it on AleliaBundles.com.
Statistics show that the most important asset as a successful business owner will be the relationships you build along the way. The Elite Conversations business community of seasoned and successful business owners and professionals will provide you a network of people with knowledge, resources, and the connections that can help take your business to the next level. Don't fall into the trap of frustration that results from being isolated and trying to figure things out on your own. Sign up for membership today and get connected with an awesome group of business owners, entrepreneurs, professionals, and influencers. To learn more about the great benefits of being a part of the Elite Conversations business community, call 301-257-5792.
I could get a signed copy, so I think I might I may be glad that I waited on that. But we're going to go ahead and take one more break, and I'm going to come back and close out the podcast. But I appreciate it if you hang with me, and I'll be right back, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you. And we're back. This is Charlotte Van Horn. This is Talking Natural Hair and Business. And I have had a lot of guests on the show that I have absolutely enjoyed having. But I'll tell you this, you know, having Miss Bundle on my show today has just made my entire year. And I just want to thank you, Miss Bundle, for being on the show, and ask you, and thank you for sharing with us today and taking the time to spend a little time with me. And I just would like for you to, you know, let us know how we can find you and anything else you'd like to let us know before we leave.
Yeah, I'm so pleased to be able to be with you and to talk with the folks in your audience. And, you know, I grew up in the hair care business, so this feels, you know, very comfortable for me. And I would love for people to reach out to me on my website, aleliabundles.com, aleliabundles.com. They can sign up for my newsletter. We also have madamcjwalker.com, madamcjwalker.com. And on Twitter and Instagram, I am at Alelia Bundles. Would love to hear from folks.
Thank you. Thank you. So in closing, I think that as I've started to look at Miss Bundle, I think I am not an envious person. It's just not part of my character. But when I tell you, when I watch you talk about your family and how the information just rolls off your tongue and you have so much information, I'm envious. I mean, because there is such great power in that. And like you said, it makes you more interested. It makes me more interested in history, to the point where I contacted my aunt, who was the oldest living person in my mother's family at this point. And I said, hey, you know, I'd really like to talk about mommy, like what it was like when mommy was young, because my mother died at 45, what it was like when mommy was young, and because I'd really like to share that information with my granddaughter, because we may not have Alelia and Madam in our family, but we got women that have done great things too. And the one thing today, we have Ancestry.com, but it don't tell you nothing about her fried chicken. You know, and but you know what I'm saying? I want to know what the chicken tastes like. What are the personal things? And sometimes when you see, like when I saw your grandfather on that show,
mm-hmm.
I saw you. She's got to be related to that man. And it's so awesome that he is recorded that way. So you have inspired me to learn more about my history and thereby learn more about myself. I am absolutely, totally excited to start your book, Self-Made, version that I have, Self-Made. I'm really excited to start that because, first of all, I love pictures. I love seeing the pictures, and I just feel like the stories are just so inspiring. I like the fact that we have taken the time to introduce people that didn't know about Madam, to get to know her a little bit better, and that this movie has created a buzz and people will go out and buy your book and get the facts because everybody is super interested now. And I just want to thank you for sharing your family with us and for all the hard work, because I know that you've collected a lot of documentation and everything, and it wasn't just like I'm throwing together something. So I really appreciate that. Can't wait for the book to come out about Alelia, and I hope maybe I can have you back on then. So again, I just want to thank you for being on the show. As always, I want to thank my main man, Darryl Spears, Elite Conversations of Life Talk Radio, for producing this podcast. I really do appreciate that. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, at Lux Forever. And as always, in the meantime, until I see you next
time. Love your locks, love your looks, love yourself. This is Charlotte Van Horn, Sisters Talking Natural Hair Business. I'll see y'all next time. Thank you.